Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
I want you to get together.
Hello, everyone. Another Friday, another Tips for Truthers for you all. And this one is, I'm going to kind of riff on this one, a little bit more of an ad lib conversation, because I don't feel like there's much to present here other than the obvious. And this is an issue which arises for all of us in the truther culture at some point in our journey. We can't really help it. It's human nature to feel this way sometimes, especially when researching very dark concepts. So I understand, I empathize, and I get it. And I suppose in this video, I'm just trying to get like a healthy reminder to you out there who are on the journey to be mindful of this fact. But it's all too easy to become extremely hateful and to be filled with anger and rage towards certain groups when you're researching the truth. Now listen, a caveat here. There are some groups of people in this world who are truly evil and do the worst things to the most innocent of us in society, and are doing it intentionally, with an agenda, with purpose behind them, often satanic in nature, and it's heinous and disgusting and horrible. And perhaps I would give some leeway there to say those people deserve to be hated for what they're doing. Oh yes, they are truly the worst. And yes, those passions and angers that rise up in you are completely healthy and normal to feel that way towards those types of people, those conspirators, those out there who we are constantly researching and uncovering and learning about, who are doing these things to us. However, a lot of the time I see this happening where people detract from the obvious enemy out there who, you know, who knows, maybe they're not even human for all we know. Maybe there's some kind of Nephilim hybrid reptilian creature of some kind masking as human. And, you know, maybe, like I said, if that's the case, interdimensional lizard people, humans, yeah, maybe we can hate those if they're a natural predator enemy of humanity eating us. You know, I get that. But the problem is that, and this is the issue, there's a lot of factions out there, disinformation and propaganda, specifically designed by those, the worst of us, or the worst people in the world who have agendas, to turn the masses, the everyday people, the ones that try to control us, against each other. And there's a lot of topics out there which make we as people hate certain demographics as though they are the true enemy, when they're not. They're just being played and pulled along with the agenda just as much as we are. And we've been diametrically opposed to one another for the purpose of keeping us fighting each other rather than working together to coherently figure out what's really going on. And this is why I'm saying just be careful not to devolve into hatred for certain factions and groups while you're on your journey. We are all victims here. We are all under the thumb of a truly perniciously evil undercurrent agenda, which, you know, I'm always drawn back to Ephesians 6:12. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Our real battle is not with physical things or people, other people, one another. Our real battle is spiritual. It's about spiritual wickedness in high places. And you can take that literally, in a biblical sense of angels who have fallen are in rebellion against us, working with demons to mess with us. Or you could take it metaphorically, more symbolically, that we're dealing with ideas, bad ideas, philosophies, thoughts, things that possess and control people and make them act in ways, non-tangibles, which we can't see necessarily, but we can certainly see the effects of them on people's mentalities and actions and behaviors. Bad ideas. We're up against a lot of that too. And we need to learn, especially if you're a part of a, you know, a Christian truther, we need to learn to differentiate the bad ideas with the people who have them. And we need to not blame the people who have the bad ideas, but attack and break apart and expose the bad ideas themselves. I think that's our best line of defense when it comes to kind of doing this right and staying in that godly agape love, where it's kind of, we're sympathetic, we're understanding to even the sinners out there, that they are ignorant in a sense, or need to learn, or need to change, or are just at a point or in a place where they're not capable or haven't had the opportunities to see the bigger picture yet, and we need to be patient, basically. Because I see there's a lot of, like, divide and conquer tactics being worked against us, and I mean that. There's a division for everything. It's, and everything, the trivial stuff as well, is what they've got us divided over. And you can, you know, you can start with the basics, man versus woman. You know, you got the feminist movement versus the manosphere movement, you know, and it's like, you got all the men blaming women for all the problems, and you got all the women blaming the men for all the problems. That's just one. And I've mentioned this in another video, but that is quite literally manufactured through social media. They fill the For You page of women with examples of men doing terrible things and women talking about how terrible men are. And they fill the For You page of men with women doing terrible things and, you know, men talking about how terrible women are, to feedback loop, fortify this false dichotomy in their mind that it's man versus woman. And then you get generational things. It's the boomers are the reason why the millennials haven't got everything, or the millennials are the reason why the economy's failing. It's like they turn generations against generations, old versus young. That's a common one. That's always happening all the time. And again, social media fuels this. The media they own has always fueled this type of thing. And the propaganda is always to cause these divisions between arbitrary lines of age, gender. And that's just one thing. Then you've got country versus country, or you've got village versus village because of the football team they support, even, you know. And it's kind of these, there are always these perpetual divisions created. And it's always the East versus the West, or it's Islam versus Christianity, or it's always something. It's left versus right. It's Democrat versus Republican. It's conservative versus, Labour Party. You just pick a left and right paradigm, some kind of a dialectic, as it's known, a Hegelian dialectic, and they've got you. They've got you trapped in their programming if you're picking a side all the time like this. And even, like I said, you could say, well, you're a Christian, you've chosen that side against the New Age, let's say, in the Truther movement, you know? So it's the Christians versus the New Agers when it comes to Trutherisms. And I would say, well, it depends how you define yourself as a Christian. Do you mean the church you're a member of? Because even that's a huge dividing line for us all in a big way. My church is better than your church. My church has the only way to be a Christian, compared to your church, which is doing it wrong. That's another problem. So I would say Truther Christians are trying to get above all of it, all of that. That's our main game here. That's our main agenda. We know God is real. We know he sent his son to die for our sins and to be a savior for us. We know that as the basics. Everything else on top of that, we're trying to understand and get to grips with as well. And there's only so much we can know because we've been lied to, but we're trying to do it right. We're trying to do it with a moral backbone, a moral standing. We're trying to do it in the best way that can help everybody without bringing the world down any further into the cesspit it already is. So we're trying our best, and we're trying not to play into any dichotomy. But not everybody who's a truther, who is a conspiracy theorist, is a Christian. So that not everyone has that same moral framework out there and are trying to crush the other side. Debate me, bro, type of people. You know, it's kind of are out there to debunk or bring down or expose others in the movements. And there's a lot of that going on as well in the Truther culture. And I'm saying, if you're a member of the Truther community, do not digress into that. Do not do it. It is unfruitful. It ends in misery and pain for everybody involved. It's often all based just on lies and nonsense. It really is. It's entertainment more than anything as well. It's there to encapsulate your entertainment and make you passive and useless. These dividing lines are run all the way throughout society. They're everywhere. And it's easy when you start learning the dark side of reality, and you start learning about factions throughout history who have done bad things to us, be it the Bolsheviks or I don't know, just pick a faction, you know, whatever it is, the communists, it's all the communists' fault, you know, or it's all the fascists' fault, or it's all the government's fault, or it's all the I don't know, the revolutionaries' fault, or it's always somebody else's fault. And this whole world is designed to pin us against each other and to make us pick sides. Are you red or are you blue? That's it. That's all it ever comes down to. In fact, red and blue is in everything. They've encoded it into all things, like everywhere. And they often adorn themselves in purple to simplify that, oh, we're above it all. We're both red and blue together, synthesized, you know, whatever it is. And they often create these dialectics as well, which are completely false. It's kind of like, do you want a car, a super sports car that can go 120 miles per hour, like in like 10 seconds flat? Or do you want a 1.2 litre Corsa that can barely make it above 70 in 13 seconds flat? All the while, you make this choice, the speed limit's still just 30 miles an hour, so it changes nothing. It was a false choice to begin with, it really meant nothing. It's kind of, but the life is full of those choices. It's kind of like, oh, you want to vote Republican or you want to vote Democrat? Well, either way, we have this agenda we want to fulfill in this term period, and either one you choose is going to fulfill the agenda for us, just with the spin, or a liberal or conservative spin on it. It doesn't matter which side you choose, the synthesis of the choice is already predetermined. And while you've divided yourself and you're arguing with each other, their agenda is still just chugging along. And it's a clever tactic, isn't it? Divide and conquer. Very simple. Just divide the people among themselves, have them arguing about things of very little or no importance, often fighting each other, killing each other even over these things. And then they're too in it to see that we're the problem, we're the ones causing all the issues, and we can get away with forwarding our agendas pretty much unhindered. That's it. So this is why this advice is still here. This is why it stands. Do not fall into hatred. Stop yourself if at any moment you feel like you are seething towards a certain demographics of people, be it over religious lines, race lines, whatever it is. I mean, that's another issue. The whole black versus white dichotomy that's happening in most Western civilizations. All the black people think it's the white people's fault everything's going terribly wrong, and all the white people are now turning into the idea that it's the black people's fault everything's going terribly wrong, especially in America, the whole race war idea. And as long as we're fighting each other, we'll never be looking above to see, well, how did these circumstances come to happen that caused this issue, this tension and this friction? And you realize it was done by design, which means that both sides are technically victims of perhaps this nebulous, odd, inhuman force of spiritual wickedness in high places that's working against us in some way, like a virus infection within the machine of reality that is corrupting everything it gets into. And there's only so much on YouTube you can get away with saying, so I'm using a lot of colorful language here, you know, to describe the people responsible for this type of thing. And again, a lot of people still want to say, well, it's the Jews as well. Well, it's more than that. I'm sure there's plenty of Jewish people who love God and are just doing what they can and trying to live their lives like everybody else. What we're dealing with here are basically Luciferians, the synagogue of Satan, as it has been known. It's this other thing. It's this Molech Baal-worshipping sect that's kind of taking over and infecting everything. It's rough. Okay, it's rough and it's hard and it's complicated. And these people are committing crimes that are just not human to some level as well. And we were struggling here as people underneath all of this who have these bills to pay. And we're kind of locked into this world where it's tough for us. It's tough for us to stop for a second and pay attention as well. And that's, again, by design. And fighting each other really keeps us there. It keeps us there. But at the same time, I get it. It's not nice when your country's being invaded by people from a completely different culture. And yes, it's easy to point to those people and say they are horrible, they're doing terrible things to us, I hate them. pick your country and culture where that's happening, because it's happening everywhere, be it in the East, the European, in the West, European or America, across there, wherever there's a border between North and South, we're having this issue. It's everywhere. It's literally everywhere all the time. And we're all pocketed into our isolated scenarios where this is going down and happening. But it's kind of, people are going to defend their own cultures, and cultures mixing together will not work. It doesn't work. It's a false idea that it ever was going to work. Is it the cultures or the people's fault for that, doing that necessarily? Or is it that people, a very few amount of people at the top, did something to cause the situation where this issue then arises? We need to get beyond the immediate, I suppose, is what I'm saying. The problem here right next to me is making me mad, therefore I hate those people there, I hate them. Rather than realizing, how did these people get here? Who made this happen? And that's where you should probably direct your anger towards. But even then, I think some of these people, though evil and have terrible intent, and maybe they're not even human, who even knows anymore? I'm starting to wonder. I often wonder when you see how bad it gets, but Christ came to save everybody. This is where we have to get to that point where it's like, we have to love our enemies. We have to love. It's the only way we're going to win. It really is. And even I struggle with this. I struggle big time. I want to get angry. I do. I want to get angry. I want to just say the obvious, like, these people need to go. But then you have to think twice. It's kind of, what if people had that attitude, the early Christians had had that attitude towards Paul before he had his road to Damascus moment? Would we have the Gospels as we have them today? And would the work have been done to spread the gospel to all the world in his time and to the seven churches and the rest of it? I mean, is it really for us on our level to make those type of choices? Or is vengeance the Lord's and should we give it over to him? These are tough ideas for humans, people with feelings and raw emotions at our level who are struggling to grapple with. But we need to start grappling with them. We need to start thinking that way. We need to realize, well, if we just behave like our enemies, we're no better than them. There has to be another way. And I would say Christ came to show us that way. And we need to walk in his way and behave as according to his ways as much as we possibly can, and learn from his teachings to best help our family, our collective humanity family out there, our brothers and sisters who are not even yet in the Lord, who need to come to the Lord, those type of things. Where we're all kind of in this together, and we're all under the same spiritual warfare battle that's happening all around us. Ephesians 6:12 stuff. And I suppose while you are feeling hatred towards the other, you're in the flesh, you're not in the spirit, you're in the wrong mindset, and you will only make things worse if you act on those fleshly desires and impulses. You will not make things better for us here and now. And do I have the solutions? No. But I think we need to start by thinking to us, if you're holding on to seething hatred for another group and you want to blame everything on them, you need to stop and think for a second. Are they really my enemy? Are they really my enemy? Because there's so much stuff out there to make us behave this way, to turn us against each other. That is a part of the agenda. That is a part of the conspiracy. Okay? And I'm not saying there aren't factions doing horrible things to people that don't deserve it. I'm not saying it's necessarily unwarranted to feel strongly an anger towards certain groups who are behaving in an atrocious way. I'm not saying it's unwarranted, but what I'm saying is it the best solution? Is it really how we should be doing this? Are you going to let them live rent-free in your head like that? Or are you going to focus on what it means to be somebody who's walking with the Lord, somebody who's actually trying to set a different example, a new way, a better way, a way we can make things change for good, and even further, a kingdom on this earth that's run in God's ways, not our own ways. So as I said, as conspiracy theorists, we easily fall into these traps. There's always something else. Like I guess the red pill movement was a secular example of one of these things that pulls you in. I guess the Q movement might be another as well. Then there was Anonymous years ago. We are the 1% against the 99%. It's the rich's fault. It's the rich versus the poor. You know, there's always a dichotomy. There's always a left versus right. There's always a blue versus red. There's always a black versus white. There's always a us versus them, and we are not like them, and the other is different from us, therefore bad. And we are, circumstances are being manufactured to cause more friction through the media and through policy and through the people pulling those strings at really high levels. And these are a nebulous, ever-changing group of people as well at the top. This is the other problem, which is why we have this issue of who we should blame. Because this is a generational spiritual issue. And I don't think worldly solutions are going to fix this spiritual problem. And that's just my opinion. You can say I'm wrong. You can say whatever you want. You know, I don't have 100% certainty on what the best way to deal with any of this is. I really don't. It's tough. It's we're kind of contending with real, raw humanity here. And, you know, our desire for peace, our desire for love, and the desire for each to their own, and for each to have the freedom to do what they want to do. But we also have in us this anger and rage and desire to want to hurt and kill and destroy and remove our enemies and those who would not want to help us create such a world. We have this in us. We are sinners by nature. We understand good and evil, and humanity truly has the capacity for evil. It has the capacity to do some terrible things. We can do that. We can cross those lines if we're not careful. And do you really want to wake up one day and realize you became that evil that you wanted to defend the world against? Because you went with it. You got sucked into that dichotomy, that us versus them thing, and you went with that crowd and lost yourself to it. Do you really want to do that? This is why I'm saying, you know, having a godly type of love, that agape, all-encompassing forgiveness love within us, that understanding, that patience type of love, we can avoid falling into those traps which are laid everywhere. And the truth movement is full of them. It's kind of like, they're there to fall into, thinking you've discovered a new rabbit hole. You've discovered a new enemy. You've discovered who it really is that's doing this to us again. And what you've really done, you're falling into a left-right side, us versus them thing. And it's not actually a truther thing that you're falling into. It's a cult, essentially, I guess, in a way. And it's their truth is the only truth type of thing. We're trying, realistically, at least I'm trying, to make it so there's, we are willing to admit that we don't know some things, and we're sincerely searching out the answers without getting too dogmatic about it, to avoid falling into that trap. Anyway, I think I've rambled on enough. There's another tip for you guys. Stay in love. Don't fall into hating other groups. Avoid the left-right paradigm. Avoid the Hegelian dialectic. So yeah, thanks for listening, and as always, God bless.
I want you to get together.